It's been a long day. Grab a beer and sit back. It's time for Brew Talk. Here's Scott, Chad, and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Happy Brews Day, everyone. We're a little light today, Chad.
I'm not really sure
what's going on. I mean, and you know, I wish I could say it's because I've lost weight, but that's not necessarily the case. But we're down a person today. Doc is out.
Yeah, he's on assignment down in Missouri, I believe.
All right. He's going to bring us back lots of good Missouri brews.
That's my understanding.
That's your understanding, yeah. And programming note for you folks that are always tuning in, appreciate that. Because of the UNC basketball game, we are being preempted next week, so we will not be on. There's a lot of sadness going around the table today, and we're a little bummed about that. But, you know, go Bears, and hopefully they do well, and they will win, and we'll raise a glass to them next week.
We will, yeah. So, and I'll probably still be drinking beer anyway.
Well, I think we will be, too. I mean, I think the only difference between today and most days is we're on the radio once a week.
He won't be here listening to us drink beer.
That's right, but they'll still hopefully be watching the game.
There we go.
Raising a glass and cheering for a win. So, well, what are we drinking today on the, just for the table beer? We've got the Palisade Peach Wheat Beer from Breckenridge Brewery. Chad, what do you think?
Yeah, not bad. Nice and light, nice peachy flavor. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I think peach beers are either hit or miss.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of middle ground with that. You either really do well with it or you do terrible with it.
And so, I think just with a lot of beers, same thing. It's either overly peachy or not enough peach.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, and a lot of times, if it's not actual peaches and they're using some kind of extract or puree, you can kind of get that overly peachy. But this, I'm not getting that with this at all.
Yeah, it seems to be pretty grounded. I know we talked about Dry Dock a couple of months ago that they do an apricot. So peach, but apricot, same, except different.
Yeah.
And you know that they do that really well. And so I think Breckenridge did a great job with this one. And it definitely is going to be good to taste as we go through the next hour.
Yeah, it's quite the contrast, I think, to the what we'll be reviewing here. So.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't want to spoil it for, you know, the folks, because we'll get into that in our third and final segment. But so we're getting into the Christmas season, and that kind of, you know, is a little bit of a hint on what we're kind of going to be seeing later on in the show. But
Sure. There's
all these crazy beers that start to come out for the holidays and everything else. What are some of the ones that you've seen either advertised or in the stores of late that are just kind of like, wow, that's really a mistletoe lager?
Or
whatever it is?
Well, we tried one that I was last week when you were on assignment.
I was on assignment.
We had New Belgium's holiday ale that was surprisingly good. It was a cranberry spiced ale. And a lot of times with those holiday spiced ales, you know, again, you get that overly spiciness, and it's just too much. It's like just eating a spoonful of allspice or cinnamon or whatever it is. But this one was surprisingly nice, and the cranberries were really, you know. And if you can go back and listen to the show, you can hear Doc and I's notes.
Absolutely.
Doc loved spice. You know, kept mentioning spice cake with that beer. But I think we were both, you know, pleasantly surprised that we enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else. Hibernation has been a staple with Great Divide. Isolation with Odell's is coming out. I believe I saw in the stores, even as early as Halloween, that Breckenridge has their big holiday ale.
Yeah.
The little kegs.
The little mini kegs?
The little mini kegs that you see in the stores all the time. I think those are out as well. So it's just that time of year where you're getting all the holiday ales and the winter seasonals are starting to come out. Some are great, some not so great, and you just got to go out and figure out which ones you like.
Got to try them out. Yeah, I was looking earlier, and so the Spruce Eats actually had a list of their top picks.
Okay.
And it's their nine, what they call their best beers for the holiday season. And so their overall is a Santa Claus classic beer. And okay. I'm not quite exactly familiar with Semiklaus.
Semiklaus.
But
not one I've had either. So.
But yeah, but then you've got Anchor's got a Christmas ale. You've got Samuel Smith's Winter Welcome Ale.
Oh, yeah. Sammy Smith's is a great one.
Avery's Old Jubilation Ale. The Brasier Dubasson Skaldis Noel.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, Bell's Christmas Ale, Odell Brewing's Isolation Ale.
Isolation.
That's another good one.
Which we just tapped at the tavern.
Yeah, very nice. Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale.
Oh, yeah. Everybody looks forward to Celebration.
And then, oddly enough, Breckenridge Holiday also. And so it was kind of interesting the way that they are doing this. And, you know, I'm noticing that their overall, it's a, let me find it again, Austrian beer. But you've got a lot of the, they just talk about holiday ales, but sure. You were talking about cranberries earlier and how there's a lot of that going into it. There's not a lot on this list.
No.
It's more holiday type of an ale, but it isn't overly done with the cranberries or boysenberries or, you know, mincemeat pie or anything
right.
else.
Right. So this time of year, you start to see the there's two different types of beers that come out. There's the winter warmers. Which is, I think, something we're going to taste a little later. And then you see the holiday ales, which are the winter warmers kind of go through all the holidays and into spring, where some of the holiday ales, you know, by the time Christmas hits, you're a little tired of them. And, you know, those are the ones that have a lot of spices or the cranberries or some interesting fruits in them that maybe work or maybe don't.
That's interesting because their best winter warmer was the Samuel Smith's.
Yeah, yeah, and that's
so
a great
you
one.
Really, you know, you perked up when I said that one. That was when you.
Yeah, that's a really great one. Another great one that's not on that list, but that comes out this time of year is Upslope out of Boulder does a spruce tip IPA. So they go and collect the spruce tips off the trees, and add them in with the hops with the IPA, and it's. One of the great winter seasonal beers out there. So if you get a chance to find that one, it's a good one to get out.
Sounds very festive.
Yeah.
Definitely puts you in that
holiday
season. You get
that little bit of Christmas tree-y flavor in your beer.
That's really good. Yeah. So you said you just tapped something in your tavern.
Yes.
And remind me again what that was.
We just tapped the Isolation.
The Isolation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is a... typical winter warmer, you know, heavier on the malts, little heavier on the alcohol to kind of get that warming sensation throughout the cold weather, and just a nice winter seasonal.
Nice. So what else would you like to see that you haven't seen? Maybe you saw it years ago and haven't seen as of late or anything along those lines that it's like, I would like them to bring this back.
Oh, that's a good question, because there's a lot of... A lot of seasonal beers just kind of rotate. New Belgium have done several. There was Accumulation. There was Snowdrop. There was different ones that kind of hinted at snow that they've kind of rotated one. Accumulation, I think, was one of my favorites from New Belgium that they just don't do anymore, which is fine. It's nice to do those one-offs and kind of keep everybody wanting more and seeing what the next thing that's going to come out. But I think that's one of my favorites that I don't see anymore.
So what are you serving in from a recommendation standpoint with the Isolation Ale there at the tavern?
So generally with the winter warmers, you're looking for something a little heavier, you know, just like we all kind of eat this time of year when it's colder outside, you're looking for something a little heftier and meatier, stews and roasts and steaks and not only for celebration, but just kind of you need those extra calories to help you kind of keep warm, right?
I'm only laughing because I'm not sure I need any extra calories, but I appreciate that.
Well, you and me both, but yeah. It sounds great.
It does sound, in theory, sounds fantastic.
Yeah. But, you're eating a little heartier this time of year, a little more, in the summer when it's hot, you tend to eat a little lighter. In the winter when it's cold, you tend to eat a little heavier.
So sure.
Those are the kind of foods that you're looking to pair with the winter warmers and the seasonal ales.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I'm, again, you see a lot of that variety, a lot of that, everybody tries different things. You're talking about the spruce tips and things of that go into beer. And I think that's one of the fun things I continue to learn more and more about as it relates to beer is that there are so many options. There are so many different things that you can do with it. And, you know, you talk to people who are in the craft brew industry like Doc and other folks that I've had the opportunity to talk to. You know, they've got this really interesting approach to, like, try stuff. There's some things, and I think Doc talked about it a few weeks ago, that, you know, as you start to get into a bigger operation, you've got to be a little bit more choosy about, but, you know, home brewers can kind of do just about anything, and it's interesting to see what they do and then how those things evolve and get to it.
Yeah, you're really only limited by your imagination. It's kind of the same with cooking. It's just, you know, if there's anything out there that, hey, maybe this sounds good, let's try this, let's try that. When you're cooking at home, yeah, it's great if it's just you and your family, and, you know, maybe your family's honest with you and tells you, no, please don't ever make that again. Or maybe they lie to you and say, that's great, Mom. That's wonderful. But I assume it's the same with homebrewers. You know, they're you know, maybe we're going to try this really weird combination of turkey gravy and a lager. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that sounds any good, but
I don't,
you know,
think
maybe
so.
Somebody thinks it sounds good, and maybe they've tried it and they pass it around their friends, and their friends are going, "What in the heck were you thinking?
What were you thinking?
Why did you do this?" But, you know, you're really only kind of limited to what you can think of and what's available.
Yeah, you really are. It's a great thing about that. And I know that when we were at the GABF, we saw lots of things all over the, you know, all over the landscape, and you get to different recipes and scenarios and mindsets and ideas and how. And I think the thing I really am really growing to appreciate is that you can have 100 different brewers. They all make the same type of beer, and they taste, every one of them tastes slightly different. There's little variations, and it's all about the craftsmanship and the nuance that goes into that, which I think makes craft beer so amazing, because it's not the same thing over and over again. And I know some craft brewers even pride themselves on that. Every batch may be just slightly different because they're constantly refining and developing it, as opposed to it being, we're, you know, doing a bazillion barrels every year, and so it's just the same thing over and over.
Right, and you're always trying to find those little tweaks. And, you know, I think you could even give 100 brewers the exact same recipe and come out with 100 different beers. And it's just, you know, those little tweaks here and there.
Yep.
And they're just going to keep adjusting things until they find that thing that they really think makes it the perfect beer.
Yeah, it really is a wonderful thing when you get into that, where it's like, it is craft. It's their thing. It's their idea and everything else. So, well, you and I had a conversation before the show about something around sports. So when we come back after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about beer and sports. And it's going to be a little bit different than what people think, especially as it relates to watching UNC and drinking beer while you're watching the game. So when we come back after this break, we're going to talk a little bit about beer and sports in a way that we haven't talked about before. So stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Brew Talk, coming to you from the Allo Communications Studios live in downtown Greeley on 103.1 and 1310 KFK, Northern Colorado's voice.
Here we go.
All right, Chad. Beer and sports.
Beer and sports.
What beer?
Classic combination.
What beer do you enjoy playing sports? And then more importantly, what sports do you enjoy having beer with?
Well, as a spectator.
So we could start with a spectator, but then we're going to pivot to the participant. So,
I think both ways, it kind of depends on the length of the sport and the seriousness I'm trying to, and ferocity that I'm trying to play the sport with or watch the sport with. So generally, I'll start as a spectator. I'll do one or two IPAs at the beginning and then switch over to something lighter, like the giant Bud Light cans. just because sometimes you got to order the giant Bud Light cans while you're watching the games.
Yes, I hear you. Yeah, I think for me, I tend to just go with the big Bud Light cans because I'm going for, you know, value.
Sure. Which is true. Which is true.
Yeah, I mean, I have season tickets to the Colorado Mammoth and absolutely love indoor lacrosse. And so you go and watch indoor lacrosse. It's great. Got to have a beer. But, you know, when you're paying, you know, $14.50 for a beer at, you know, Ball Arena or something.
Right.
Look on Micah's face from inside. Was like
$14.50. I wouldn't play maybe a crowler of Mountain Dew.
That's all right.
Well, yes. And there's some places you can get a 4-pack or a 6-pack for $14.50.
There certainly are. So I think that's kind of where it's at. A lot of times it's at. If I have my choice, I'm going to go with something more like a Hefeweizen. I remember it was like the first two seasons that I was a season ticket holder with the Mammoth, they had Boddingtons.
Yeah.
And even though I would have to pay like $12 for a Boddingtons, it was like, I still got a really good beer while I was watching the game, and then they stopped carrying them.
And that's why I'll go for those IPAs at the beginning, because then, you know, I'm paying a dollar two or more for a little bit less, but I'm also getting a 7% beer.
Yes.
Compared to a 4.5% beer.
Yeah.
So it kind of balances out.
It does. All right. So now let's flip the script. What sports can you drink beer while participating in?
Well, as an avid beer drinker, I'm not sure there's any sport you can't play while you're drinking.
So give me some examples.
So there, you know, there's the obvious. There's golf. I don't think any of us have ever played a round of golf without having a beer or two. Well, maybe, I'm sure there's some.
Maybe Micah, you know, but I don't know how much he plays.
I've never played golf.
Let's put it this way. There's not a round of golf that I've ever played without a beer or three throughout the 18 holes.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually, I remember when I was much younger and I did play golf, that was kind of the game. It was like, okay, how many beers are we going to get through in 18?
And, you know, and I'm not good enough at golf. It's more for me just riding the cart in the park and drinking beer on a beautiful day.
It absolutely is. You know, I think it might have been Ralph Waldo Emerson that golf is a good walk spoiled or something like that. So that's kind of the way I treat it. I have a good friend who, you know, he's like a single-digit handicapper, and he plays a lot. And I'm like, great, that is not me, so I'm not going to do that. What other sports can you play?
I think the other obvious one, bowling. Is bowling a sport?
It is.
I think that's one that I also like to enjoy a few beverages while I'm playing. But the one, that might not be as obvious, when I was younger, there used to be a restaurant softball league to where the home team would provide a keg that they would put on third base, where we'd always have different rules of, you know, when by the third inning, you had to run with a can of, or a cup of beer in
cup
your hand.
Cup of beer in your hand, yeah.
You know, after your hits and things like that. So that was always a good time.
Yeah. That's kind of where the term beer league sort of started, as people started becoming creative with that. And yes, you can do that. So
if you count foosball or ping pong as sports, then absolutely. I encourage drinking, especially if I'm playing against you.
Sure. And there's been a time or two where I played foosball where I've mainly just used the table to lean up against because I've had a few too many beers and had to call the cab on the way home.
You are. But all right. So, but let's get into this. So, and some of these are ones that I've discovered just in the last year, but totally doable. Axe throwing.
I agree.
Yes. Yeah. So that is a great sport. You can pregame for, you can, you know, right here in Greeley, we've got a facility that you can
I've enjoyed that a time or two myself.
I have too. I'm actually on a league, and we're myself and somebody else might, I don't want to commit to it, but we might be live streaming the playoffs next week.
Very nice.
Now, is this an axe or is this a hatchet?
Yes.
Either or.
Both?
So technically, I believe the term would be a hatchet, but from a...
It just sounds cooler saying axe. Throwing.
Yes. Yeah. You can throw an axe, you can throw a hatchet. But yes, you can. So again, you kind of get into some of those. Another one, cornhole.
Cornhole, yeah.
Cornhole, I mean, I think I'm better at cornhole when I've got a beer in one hand and I'm throwing bags with you.
I actually get very confused watching the cornhole championships on ESPN when the players don't have a beer in the hand while they're throwing the bags.
I don't know how they do
it. I don't know how they balance themselves or how they throw those shots.
Yeah, the beer is the best thing ever because it's like a counterbalance. It's like you hold it, you throw the bag, it's perfect. So
now, I don't know if anybody is old enough that's listening that's watched football from the early 70s, late 60s, to where they were smoking cigarettes and drinking beer on the sidelines.
And drinking beer on the sidelines, yes.
So, you know, football, there's a sport.
Yeah, football you could play.
You could play while drinking beer.
Yep, I think Australian rules football, maybe even more so.
Oh, yeah, and I think rugby players are quite famous for their beer drinking ability.
Yes, lots of that. Yeah.
Anything neighborhood. Yeah. Like if you're playing with your friends in the neighborhood or your friends from work or... Like, if it's a laid-back game, whatever it is, go ahead and drink.
Agreed. Yeah.
Well, and another one, the Savannah Bananas. I don't know if you're familiar with this team.
Baseball.
It is a baseball team, and they have gotten really creative, and they've created this enormous following, and they do all sorts of crazy stuff. And that was one of the things that they did recently, and by recently, it might be in the last couple months, but that was one of the things is like for one inning, every player who went up to bat had to slam a beer before he went to home plate. It was like part of the experience, and so they do some of those creative things. And, you know, I think there's a lot of opportunities for you to do great stuff while you're drinking beer and participate in sports.
Well, the pitcher should be sober.
I don't know.
Well, if you're playing like, you know, softball with a professional softball pitcher, and I've seen those women pitch, they can throw it.
True.
I don't want a woman who's been drinking to, you know, maybe something at me.
I think most people that are playing beer league softball aren't playing professionally. So right. I think at that point, as a matter of fact, I think most beer league softball teams are slow pitch. So you won't get those dangerous.
But you know, if you've had a couple and you're playing the hot corner, and I've done both, then you can get one hit at you pretty hard, and that's kind of fun. But yeah.
Darts. Well, and you're a runner too, aren't you?
Not as much as I used to be, but absolutely.
So there's the famous beer mile.
Yes.
That there's people that take that quite seriously. Yep. And the world record holder has a just over 4 minute beer mile.
Yeah.
So
it's great. Well, and then, you know, people for years run the Boulder.
Yeah.
I think 1 year I actually did a keg stand during the Boulder.
Yeah. And, so my son, also a runner, ran his first Boulder this year. And,
nice.
And quite enjoyed the sideline festivities a lot more than the actual run.
Yeah. You get Oreos, you get beer, you get slip and slides, and then afterwards, running, you get a beer because it's carbohydrates.
Right.
It's
what a hydration. Great recovery drink.
I mean, it's perfect. I think that's what every sport should do is after you get done, you should have a beer.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we should like maybe start to petition every sports in the world and say after a game, after a contest, everybody gets a beer.
And I think a lot of times in championship celebrations, you kind of see that happen.
Yeah, but
that's
more
of a celebration.
On a Tuesday afternoon. You know, you just played 9 innings against the Minnesota Twins, and you're
the
exhausted
beginning of the
and everything.
Season.
Hey,
yep.
We might as well just hey, great job, way to finish 9 innings. Here's a beer. You know, just have a guy at the top of the steps just handing out a cold one, and then you could have different sponsorship levels. You know, some
I
of the beer
it.
Companies are out there and go, you know, hey, this week it's a Coors week, and so every team in Major League Baseball gets a Coors Light after the game. Here's your silver bullet. Have a nice day. And
I love it.
And if anybody from Adolph Coors or Molson Coors or whoever it is listening and you steal my idea, you can reach me at the radio station at KFKA Radio.
and we'd love tickets to every sporting event that you sponsor.
And we'd be more than happy to hand out the beers to the teams at the end of those competitions.
And we'd be happy to do a live show while we're out there.
We could do a live show while we're handing out beer to professional sports athletes after they get done with the game, win or lose. And I think that would be the interesting part.
I think that's great.
So it's like, what are you going to do?
Fantastic.
Any other sports we haven't talked about so far that you could have a great time and drink a beer doing?
Boy, I think there's just about any sport.
Some are better than others, though.
Some are better than others. Some are easier than others. I think if there's something that you use your hands a lot, it's going to be a little tougher to play while drinking a beer, unless you're playing in between plays or innings or periods or...
Yeah, lots of different things. I think gymnastics would not be one that would be
Gymnastics would be tough.
Yeah, That would be.
There are beer league hockey leagues.
Yeah.
But I feel like drinking too much beer with while you're skating or running around on ice with knives on your feet could get a little dangerous.
Okay. I've got the ultimate one. Curling. Beer league curling.
I love it.
I want to see that happen.
I feel like curling is a natural beer drinking sport.
I agree.
And I think it's like cornhole. I think if you have that beer in your hand while you're throwing that stone, I think it just kind of adds to the balance.
And then you're getting a workout later, because if you're a sweeper, you've got to sweep. And then when you get done, it's, hey, we cheers, we celebrate, we finish our beer, and then we go back to it. So I think it's perfect.
Or maybe you give the sweepers those hats that have the straws.
I love it, the plastic hats with the straws. Chad, we have created a whole new league. We're going to do beer league curling.
I love it.
Look for that. Next spring at the Ice House here in Greeley, we're going to get a beer league curling season going. I don't know. We're going to go from that. Anyways, we should go to break because we've got a beer that we're going to try that we can introduce to the listeners, and we can get into that, and we'll review it and talk about that. So stick around for a commercial or two. We'll pay some bills, and then we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Brew Talk. I am here with my good friend Chad Young across from us. We are missing Doc today.
We are. Doc's on assignment.
On assignment. We're missing him today. But all right. So what do you got for us today? What are we going to review?
So I thought, you know, we talked a little bit about winter seasonals, and we had one last week. So I thought we'd continue that trend this week. Brought in Great Divide's Hibernation Ale. So this is a English-style old ale, which just kind of means it's a stronger, hoppier, or a maltier ale that's, you know, kind of a generic term. Strong ales, it just means it's a little darker in color than most of the other ales. This is the 27th anniversary year of Hibernation. They started making this in 1995. It's not one of those spiced ales. It's more the winter warmer. So dry hopped, malty beer that comes in about 8.7% ABV. So it's kind of a big beer.
Yeah, it's a big beer.
And it's, you know, when you say winter warmer, the alcohol is definitely going to do that winter warming. Again, a great beer to pair with some stews or shepherd's pie or even a steak dinner, I think would be great. If you want a good dessert-wise, I think with the style of beer, I think you'd think something like an apple pie or an apple streusel or maybe some lighter chocolate. I don't think you want to go too rich or too dark chocolate with this type of beer, but we're going to give it a taste and see what we all think.
We are, yeah.
Nice dark color as you pour.
Mm-hmm.
The head stuck around for a bit, and it is now kind of dissipated. And
yeah. Very aromatic.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of toffee, you know, caramelly and chocolatey and some nuts. I like nuts.
I am so proud. All right. So we're going to give this a shot here.
Let's give it a taste.
I'm going to give it a taste, and we'll let Chad give it a taste, and we'll go from there.
Don't smell a lot of hops. Dry hopped tends to lead to where you get a hoppier smell.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Wow. I like that a lot more than what I thought I would. You talked about the toffee and the other, you know, the flavors that you're smelling. And I know that sounds really ridiculous, but I can't think of another way to say it. But the flavors that you smell, the aroma matches this well.
Yeah.
And I feel like that the taste is not quite as heavy as the nose would make you think.
Sure.
But that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Yeah.
Definitely that big roasty tape flavor.
Yeah. Oh, very roasty. Yeah.
But for a dry hopped beer, surprisingly not super hoppy. A lot of times when you dry hop beer, and dry hopping is where you kind of take essentially a tea bag of hops and put it after the boil just to kind of get more flavors and more aromatics out of the hops. It's not punchy in the face hops.
Right.
Super malty, lots of toffees, like roasty coffee almost.
Ooh, yeah, that's kind of it. Like in a good way.
Strong coffee, yeah.
Oh, yeah, strong coffee, but not an espresso, not an overbearing. Mm-hmm. And it's a good strong coffee.
Like a dark roast.
Yes, a dark roast, yeah. It's not like your dad's Folgers out of the can kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is a good, well done, yeah. I am.
And for, I got to say, for 8.7% ABV, not really boozy flavored, and you don't get that alcohol burn. I think if you sat down and drank one of these, that 8.7 could sneak up on you pretty easy.
Well, and something else I was just thinking of, because we've had this sitting out since before the show started.
True.
So this beer has been allowed to kind of warm a little bit compared to just right out of the fridge. I actually like it like this.
I agree. And I think this is the style of beer and a type of beer that slightly warmer temperature, you know, I'm not saying, you know.
Yeah, room temp.
Room temp.
No.
No, but I think a slightly warmer, 50, 55 degrees,
yeah.
I think is a great temperature to enjoy this beer.
Yeah, I don't know what our current temp is. I need one of those, like, you know, thermometers that I can figure it out. This is one that I am just really, really shocked by because of how much I'm enjoying the beer.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to enjoy this beer this much.
Because typically you're not a big malty beer kind of guy.
I really am not. I mean, you know, I'm more of the Hefeweizen, you know, those type of things. Yeah. You know, the sessions are fine too, but this has got a lot of great flavor. It's got a really good body and just aroma and everything. So love the idea of this being that winter warmer kind of beer you talked about. And I could see me having this going, I just want to sit and have a good beer that's going to kind of warm my insides. And this would absolutely do it. So, you know.
And I know Doc's a malty guy.
Yep.
And his big thing is the aromas match the flavors. And I think they really do that with this beer.
Yeah. There's nothing here that you smell that you're not getting some form of taste.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Doc has been really good about, we've had that before where it's like, I'm smelling something and then you go to taste it and it's like, it's not there.
Not quite what I anticipated.
And you're kind of missing out on that. So in this case, I think they did a great job of that. What else?
Well, I imagine 27 years, they've had some time to perfect and tweak the recipe a little bit.
Sure.
I'm really enjoying this an awful lot.
Yeah, I am too. More so than I thought I would. So let's talk about, because we've been doing this whole thing about pairings, and you talked about something, you know, meaty and things like that. If you were going to make a meal for a group of people coming over and you wanted to serve this beer, what meal are you making them?
So I'd probably do a couple of things. I'd look at maybe, it was a little more informal, like a family meal. I do maybe something like a beef stew or a shepherd's pie, something that you're getting that meat and potatoes, that gravy, some vegetables.
I knew you were going to say that, by the way. Yeah. I was like, I know exactly what he's going to say.
If it's a little more formal, maybe I'm going something like a steak, a filet mignon, or, you know, a ribeye with maybe, you know, a mushroom sauce or something, demi-glace or something similar along those lines.
Sure. Although we do know how Chad ranks everybody, because if it's informal and you're just family, you're getting shepherd's pie. But if it's more formal, you're getting steak.
Getting steaks. There you go.
That's good. Yeah, I really like this. And I think that beef is going to be your meal of choice with this beer.
I agree. I think this is a meat and potatoes kind of beer.
It really is. Yeah, I could see that. You know, like you said, yeah, steak and potatoes. I could even, you know, see it potentially with, like, you know, if you wanted to do burger and fries at this type of year and something like that. Especially a big beefy burger with, like, bacon and cheese and things like that on it. Something that's really
hearty. If you're a hunter, I think this is a great beer with game. Elk or deer or something like that.
Yeah, it definitely could.
Yeah.
It would be interesting.
Does the type of potato matter?
I don't think so. I think it's...
I would... Normally with my food, I would go with a mashed potato. But a lot of people are very particular. I just don't know if people are particular with their type of potato when they're drinking a beer.
Well, and I'm surprised that you say you're so particular about potatoes. I thought you always just loved potatoes.
I always love potatoes, but when it comes to them, mashed potatoes are way up here compared to everything else.
Well, I think mashed potatoes are a great choice, but I think a roast potato or a baked potato.
I was going to say roast or baked just for me seems to be like a better fit for this beer. Yeah. It just all of the nuances that are coming out of the beer.
I think it's such a, you know, malty and strong flavor. And with that higher alcohol, I think you definitely want something in there to kind of absorb some of that.
Well, we need to go to break because we're running up on the top of the hour. We got to make sure we get another commercial break in. So we're going to do that. And when we come back, Chad and I are going to give our rating for this beer. And I'm pretty sure I've got a good idea where we're going to land. But you're going to have to come back after the break and hear what we think about it. We'll be back in 2-2. Maybe that's not quite right, but for those of us who are old enough, Chuck Woolery, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Nerd Show. Oh my gosh, I almost did that. Uh-oh. I almost did the Nerd Show. Brew Talk. Holy cats, wrong day, wrong hour. Oh my gosh. I got so excited because Micah was playing Rush for us again before on our bumper music. And that was a very, very deep, deep track on that song. So well done, sir. That was impressive. So I am. Maybe it's the 8.7% alcohol talking that I. I don't know. So, well,
sneaks up on you.
It does sneak up on you. And so that we were talking during the break that we'd love to have another one, but we're not going to because it's probably
one you want to
knock you on your butt.
You're going to have more than one. Enjoy at home.
Enjoy at home. Yes, absolutely. So I think we need to rate the beer, but we're going to figure out, we're going to 1, 2, 3, and we're just going to see where we're at. But I think we kind of know where we're at.
I think we probably know where we're at.
All right. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, well, we are in the same area. We're very close. So Chad gives it a keg. I give it a growler, which means it is Brew Talk approved. Yes.
Yes.
And I think Doc would probably agree. Growler or keg, too. So I think this is
Doc's listening in Missouri.
Yeah. Doc, we hope we did you proud. So.
We hope so.
Yeah. I think the only reason I wouldn't go keg is because this would be so hard for me to stay away from that I would need to, you know, in small chunks.
Yeah.
Although maybe the growler would make things worse because I just pour big pours out of the growler. I don't know.
Well, to me, the growler, you got to drink a little faster before it
goes
flat.
Yes, that is very true.
But this is something I could enjoy from now until February.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is not one, definitely not something you want to drink during the summer, I don't think. But it's a nice all winter long kind of beer that's, you know, on a cold night. When the wind's blowing like tonight, mm-hmm. I think this is a great beer to enjoy.
So, Chad, maybe you can tell the listeners out there, where did you pick up this specific beer?
This I actually got at College Green Liquors, but we have it in cans at the tavern.
Nice.
And there are, I'm sure,
other liquor stores
around town and other places. Old Chicago, I'm sure.
Yeah,
this is one. I know they usually do a winter tour.
Nice.
So those kind of places, I think... pretty sure we'll have this on tap or in cans available.
Fantastic. Well, I always think it's good when we get a good beer that you know that you can get it. The one thing I hate is when you find a beer you really like and then you can never get it
again. Never find it again.
Yeah, there's a brewery that shall not be named because I don't want to give them any bad press, but they make a pretty good Hefeweizen,
mm-hmm.
and they are not close. And when I visited them... I think I've been there 4 times and only once have they had their Hefeweizen.
Oh, geez.
And so it's like, I really want that. Oh, we don't have it on tap.
They don't have it
in the cans. And it was like, man, it's, you know, and I guess it's a good problem to have.
It is.
If you make a good product and it's in demand and things like that, you've got to go through that. But it's always a bummer for when you're a fan of a specific beer. You're like, I really like that one.
Well, especially when it's a seasonal.
Yeah.
And you're expecting it this time of year and... you can't get out there and find it. But, you know, a lot of these breweries have lots of other amazing beers
they do
that you can get out and try as well.
Which is, I guess, can be a good thing for some of those individuals. It's like if you go there because there's a beer that they've made and you really like it and they don't have it, it does open up the opportunity for you to go, all right, well, what else do you have? And one of the things I've grown to appreciate, especially with the craft brewers here in Greeley, and I think this is true most places, but I think I've seen it on almost every place I've been here in Greeley. It's like, this is what I really like. This is what I enjoy. And if they don't have that, they usually are really, really good about making a recommendation that I end up enjoying.
Then you're going to find something fairly close. So a lot of times, you know, you go to these breweries, the bartenders, beer tenders are super knowledgeable about their product.
Yeah.
So just ask questions. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't drink a lot of craft beer. I like Fat Tire. What do you have that's similar to Fat Tire? Well, we don't have anything that's really close to Fat Tire, but this might be something that you enjoy.
Yeah.
So, you know, just talk to the bartenders and talk to the staff at the breweries, and sure enough, they're going to find something that you're going to enjoy and something that's really close, and you might have some good surprises in there.
Yeah, and I think that, and I know that most of the, if not all of the breweries here in Greeley do this, but I love the idea of, well, let me give you a taste of something. Let me try this. What do you think about that? And to your point, those knowledgeable, you know, bartenders or those tap tenders, the right term there, that are able to get out of you, what do you think about that one?
Yeah.
Did you like that one? Do you not like that one? And those are always great conversations to have. And I've had those, and I've also been able to experience that from the side, watching someone else come in and go, yeah, I you know, nothing that you have. I don't like IPAs, or I don't this and don't that, and go, well, how about this? Because this is not it. And it's always a fun experience when you're a part of it. And it's even, I think, almost more fun watching somebody else go through that.
Right. Well, and it's always fun for me, for somebody that, especially when somebody says, I don't like IPAs, I don't drink IPAs, for me to go, okay, try this. And it's something that's close to what they like. Try this. It's a little out of the range, but it's still pretty close.
Yep.
And I'll find an IPA that says, okay, now try this. And they go, hey, that's not bad. What is that? That's an IPA.
And you're like, oh.
Oh, okay, maybe I like IPAs.
I feel like Chad is trying really hard to subliminally or not subliminally tell me something. He's like, Scott, I'm going to make you a fan of IPAs.
I might like IPAs an awful lot.
Might not be every IPA. But it will be something.
And I myself don't like every IPA. There are a lot of styles of IPA out there that aren't for me.
Yeah.
They're, you know, I specifically like English style and West Coast style IPAs.
Mm-hmm.
Will I drink a West Coast or a hazy IPA? Of course I will.
Yeah.
But if I have a choice between a hazy East Coast style or a West Coast mm-hmm. IPA, I'm going to choose the West Coast every time.
Yeah. Not that we're talking about whiskey and scotch and things like that, but I've learned the same thing too with scotch, is that I don't like most scotch. What I like is Highland scotch.
Sure.
Because I don't like the peat stuff.
And you don't so like that's the peat. You don't like that.
I don't like anything
You don't
peaty.
Like the Islay.
No. No. So
where
it's great
strong,
to learn that.
Smoky peat.
Yep. So it's really great to be able to experience that. And I think for beer, speaking specifically about beer, that there are those elements that it's like, okay, it's not a Hefeweizen, but it's a lager and you're going to enjoy it. It's
right.
a Belgian style wit and it's not exactly it. And so all of those
right.
elements. And then I get into something like you brought for us today to sample that is so outside the norm. I never would have purchased this on my own. I would have passed this by in a heartbeat. You know, an English style malty. No. Not my thing, and I'm just so thankful that you brought it in for us to be able to chat about and talk about.
Well, I think that's a great, you know, way to go to breweries and try things is get the tasting flights.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a huge commitment. You're not committing to a 12-ounce beer. It's just a little taster, and you can try a bunch of different things.
Maybe that'll be something that we do at one point in time in the show. Is we get like a flight of beers from a certain location and say, hey, let's try a flight of beers and then rank them 1 through 5 or 1 through 6 or whatever else and see where they all land into and go from there. But it's always a fun thing to go through and do. Well, Chad, I appreciate you being here today. I love the fact that we get to do this.
Always a fun.
Sorry
always
that
fun.
Doc wasn't here. He's out on assignment, but you know, he's loved in spirit and missed in house. And we will miss you all next week because obviously there's the UNC game, so we won't be here for that. But make sure you tune in 2 weeks. We're going to try and have some special guests in studio. So have a great one, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your day.